Coasters Podcast, the number one self-absorbed beer show, from coast to coast, and every once in a while, in between.
Hey, I'm Dylan, brewer at Cape Ann Brewery, and you're listening to the Beer Coaster.
My name is Charles Finkel, and I'm the founder and the president of the Pike Brewing Company here in Seattle. I'm glad to be on the Beer Coasters.
Blah, 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 I'm off a beer, damn it!
Well, howdy there, folks. Welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast. This here is a weekly podcast devoted to bringing you the best and worst in mostly American craft beer. From coast to coast and every once in a while in between. I'll be your host this week. This is Toby in Las Vegas, Nevada, and joining me is...
Mike in Boston, Massachusetts.
And Crazy Dave from Temecula, California.
So how's everybody doing?
Howdy-ho!
This is...
Well, hello there, children!
I want to throw out what number show this is. This is episode 252.
252.
I need about 252.
We are calling this, Pintlandia. So we're going with a Portland theme. Also, we're going to sneak in some just general Oregon beers in our show this week. But here on YouTube, we are drinking the Upright Brewing Six.
Six.
Six, not sex.
Sex.
Six. It's an eh.
Here at Beer Coasters, we put beers on things.
Portland theme. Mike, what are you going to be drinking on the entire show that comes out this weekend?
The whole show and nothing but the show. I'm going to drink Rogue 25 Integrity Ale.
And I'm going to be drinking Cascades Apricot Sour.
Cool, and cool. I will be also drinking... An upright beer. I'm missing out on the YouTube tasting of the six, but I have a bottle of the seven from Upright, so I will be drinking that.
Oh, so you think you're better than us now, huh?
Yes, I'm a step up.
Yeah, trying to one up.
I don't
us.
Even get to drink this. I'm not even going to drink the six.
I'm going to one up straight to the seven.
I'm not even going to waste my time with the six. I'm just going straight to the seven. No, actually, I've already had the six on the show long time ago. I think it was.
You did, didn't
the
you?
The Numbeers episode, which was in November of 2011.
That's a good one for the Numbeers.
If anybody cares what I thought of the beer, you can go to our Numbeers show. Hear my take on the six. But for now, Mike and Dave are going to crack it right here. Upright Brewing.
This is a competition conversation.
Well, Upright is out of Portland, Oregon, so it says on the back of the bottle. Six is a dark rye saison displaying caramel malt tones and earthy hop flavors. It looks like they're using pale caramel rye, roasted barley, and magnum hops. ABV is 6.7, and it's 25 IBUs.
It looks like it's going to have a lot of head on it.
Oh, my God, yeah. A lot of head.
As soon as I cracked it, it was like a...
We're going to be sitting here for a while, folks. I got a full Yeti fist ahead.
So now, the Upright has the whole numbered series, right? Are they all Belgian?
Like, shocker.
I think that they're all Belgian. Excuse me, Belgian styles. I think. Because I think the four is a farmhouse, I think. But I think
Upright produces four year-round numbered beers with a similar theme, all of which incorporate a regionally grown and malted grain, hops from Annan Brothers Farm in St. Miguel, and a special saison yeast perfectly suited to our open fermentation vessels.
There you go.
These beers are named after their starting gravity in Belgian brewing degrees. This is a method. Now, this method is a nod to the days when breweries solely distributed to their respective neighborhoods with nothing but a number on the cap to distinguish the beers, a time before the overly branded products of today. We hope that you appreciate the absence of gimmicks of Upright and enjoy the beers in the same sincere fashion as they were made.
I think I actually talked about that on the Numbeard show. but or maybe it was earlier than that.
Yeah, Toby talks about it, and like everyone shuts up and listen. I talk about it, and I get crickets and snoring.
I'm ready to drink it.
Well, I can't even get my nose
in
there.
I know. I have about a Yeti thumb worth of
head. It smells like it. Well, I guess color. It's like a dirty brown. It looks like a caramel, like it a dark caramelized sugar, like almost like a really dark peanut brittle.
Yeah, it's got a.
It smells kind
of
sour.
Yeah, it's kind of a cloudy, kind of toffee color.
Yeah, real toffee's
thick,
better.
Kind of foamy head there, like root beer
huge
style.
Foamy head.
A little lumpy.
It's definitely got an earthiness.
A little lumpy.
It's got a really earthy smell to it, like dirty.
It's like a sweet and sour caramel explosion. You said they use pale and...
Yeah, pale, caramel rye, roasted barley.
Oh, and Magnum.
Magnum.
The larger
single
hop.
Single hop, right? I think all of these are single hop beers.
Nope.
No?
Sorry. No, five uses...
Five uses Willamette,
Liberty Seven Pearl. Uses three as well. Seven uses Magnum, Mount Hood, and Columbia.
Zipping it.
Well,
I'm going to try to take a sip through all this moment. I'm going to get a serious beer mustache right now.
Really caramely, really malty.
Yeah.
Not very, not so farmhousey. A little bit of molasses, too.
Yeah, there's it's funny, a roastiness comes in at the end. Mm-hmm. It's like a toasted caramel picking up on some of the rye. Gets kind of
a little dryness, peppery thing.
Pepperiness. But it actually has kind of a nice, sweet, malty, toasty flavor at the end.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of excited that it's not well, I'll talk about that last call.
Yeah, I'm not getting too much of those you know, the esters that you would get from, you know, some of the Belgian. Do they use?
It's not really Belgian-y. Well, yeah, they said they use a saison and it's open fermented. They have a special saison yeast and they said they open fermented. So you expect, you'd really expect funkiness from this, but you're really not getting that.
No, it's not, or it's not as funky, I guess, as you would expect. Yeah, I'm actually.
It's a lot sweeter.
Kind of the end. Yeah, it's sweet in the beginning, and then it gets kind of roasty and starts to.
Which is kind of nice that balances with the rye, you know.
Yeah.
And not what I was expecting at all.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of
it's caramel and rye, and they're just kind of playing off each other, kind of back and forth.
I'm actually drinking this probably a little warmer than I should have been.
Mine's just about right. I was worried it was going to be too cold.
Yeah.
And when I cracked it open, I guess it just, you know, wasn't in the fridge as long as I expected it to be. Thought it was. So it's actually, I think it's like spot on temperature wise right now.
What about for food, Mike? What are you thinking for food pairing?
Oh man, I'm not sure. I think this would go really well with food. I'm just not quite sure what.
Sure what? No, it's funny you say it because I think the same thing. I think it would lend itself really good to food. My initial thoughts was something earthy because I think this beer has a little bit of earthiness to kind of complement that, but enough of a bite to cut through it as well. I'm thinking of something like mushroom gravy, kind of a style dish, something.
Okay. I was thinking of you know, like a roasted like a pork chop or something might not be too bad with this either.
Well, I have a shake and bake pork chop. Should I go get that? It's actually got like some spicy thingy on it, so I'm not sure that would go so good.
I think as long as they had some kind of roasted thing. But you're right with that mushroom gravy or something with a brown
sauce.
Brown sauce of some type would be really interesting with this because I think it would really bring out the sweetness in the beer.
What about an au jus?
You can't go wrong with that. If you had like a prime rib or something, it would be be awesome. But I think it would make a difference in what you had for a side dish, though. You know, I think if you had the right vegetables with this, it would make a big difference. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of at a loss. You know, I mean, I think a good roasted pork chop or, you know, prime rib is actually really good if you get it with a... I'd actually be interested in having it with a sweet potato just because you get the earthy sweetness of the sweet potato and then maybe more of this peppery, roasty flavor would come out of the beer. I don't know. I think I got to do a little bit more homework on this whole beer and food pairing thing and what, you know, what flavors kind of complement each other, because I can think of what I would want in my head, but it may not be the, you know, textbook kind of palate-pleasing combination, you know?
Well, somebody on the internet from Shotwell Brewing, I think, had Upright Brewing 6 with the deconstructed
kielbasa. That narrows it down. Someone on the internet.
Well, it's actually coming from shotwellbrewing.com. Food beer pairing with Upright Brewing 6 is with a deconstructed kielbasa and cabbage sandwich.
Oh, so. I don't know. If you like that sort of thing. I don't know about the cabbage with this beer.
No, but earthiness, I think, is what does it.
Yeah.
I think earthiness.
See, I'm thinking, I mean, this around the fall, you know, with, like, the root vegetables and you know, something like that's kind of what I want with this beer. Some really hard, you know, that like a Yankee pot roast or that.
Well, I was thinking chicken pot pie when you guys were talking about mushrooms and stuff.
Turkey
like that.
Turkey pot pie would be better.
And I think a beef pot pie would be good if it had some kind of mushroom and beef yep. and that type of thing.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, folks, this is Upright Brewing. They're out of Portland, Oregon. This was their 6.
Yes.
It's
plain and simple. 6.
Plain and simple.
Do we have I don't have my Untappd open.
Oh, man,
we are
either.
Amateur hour over here today.
Yeah. All right, so Untappd rates this a slow internet 3.63 out of 1,798 ratings, and the top 3 places to drink this beer are, guess what, folks? Upright Brewing in Portland, Oregon.
There you go.
I don't know. I'm not gonna.
Adarius.
Yeah.
Rustic.
I figured you guys could pronounce this better than me.
Out of Capitola, California, and the Sanctuary Pub in Iowa City.
Yeah, I can pronounce Sanctuary. I get that.
Also, number 4, interestingly enough, is the Kenosha Steakhouse. So maybe you're right on with that steak there.
In Breckenridge. When in doubt,
Gemini put a beer Lounge, on. A chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. A gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Gemini Lounge logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. Local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. Great tunes, good vibes, it's Gemini Lounge.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
This is Toby out west for my Portland beer. I am also drinking Upright Brewing, which we had in our fermentation conversation. I am drinking the Upright 7, so I'm kicking it up a notch from the 6 to the 7.
Yeah,
and now,
Toby's a little high class like that.
Yeah, one-upping us.
You know, I got to do that once in a while. Yeah, I got to one up you guys. You know, 7 is a beer that I don't see very often. I see the 4 and I see the 6 pretty often.
The only
here
2
in Vegas
that I could get up here, by the way, it's the 4.
Yeah,
and, 6.
And I see the 5 once in a while. So I don't know if this one is just it flies off the shelves really, really fast, or
it's a larger prime number.
Right.
It's lucky.
It's Lucky 7. You know, people like 7. They like, you know, the movie 7. And
what's
so
in the box?
So they grab this beer. So anyway, UprightBrewing.com is their website. They're out of Portland, Oregon, like we've said numerous times. Don't know when these guys got started. We didn't say that part, when they got brewing. I think Crazy Dave's going to look that up for me right now. Seven is the most Belgian-esque of the numbered beers, except for here on Beer Coasters Podcast, we say Belgian-y.
Belgian-y.
We don't say esque.
That's right.
Even though this is the seven and it is stepping it up a notch, so I might have to slide and say Belgian-esque. Where the house yeast is fully expressed with a big fruitiness while the hops provide spice and herbal elements. The malts are pale, Pilsner, and Vienna. The hops are Magnum, Mount Hood, and Columbia. Comes in at 8% ABV with 23 IBUs. Cracking this mofo. Oh. Ooh. Got a sweet smell that came out of that one. Hypersound. So, pours out a lot lighter than the six. This is very golden in color. Slightly cloudy. I don't think it's a chill haze. I mean, it's a little cool, but I don't think it's cold enough to cause it to get that hazy. Slightly hazy. I got about a good solid Yeti finger of head on there. Yeah, it's kind of like a pale orange color. Some kind of yellowish highlights.
Oh, Upright was opened in 2009, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Newbies.
So on the nose, what is that? Some kind of fruity, it's a little bit like apricot, but it's kind of different. There's like a stickiness on the nose, like a doughy stickiness.
Like the Pillsbury Doughboy's armpits?
Nah.
Damn.
But yeah, there's this interesting...
I was going to say something else, but I figured I'd keep it clean.
I guess the clothes...
Pillsbury Doughboy's butt crack? Or his ball sack?
A little bit of the Belgian... A little bit of the Belgianiness is starting to come out. A little bit of banana.
I just couldn't imagine them hanging down. I just imagine there's so much fat that they just kind of were like enveloped. Toby's like, Jesus
Christ. Yeah, it smells kind of like a fruit cocktail with banana in
like
there.
In a can?
And
with the syrup?
Syrup?
And kind of, and there's and a little
pears?
Bit of a peach. Like, yeah,
a couple little cherry slices.
Mm. Yeah, it's really starting to open
like
up
two
now.
Cherry slices in the whole can.
Right.
Yeah, the maraschino, you're digging for those. It's like finding treasure. Yeah, I mean it's very interesting. It but it's all very light. It's
so
not.
You're gonna
super...
pair that with cottage cheese then?
We'll see. I may have to pair this with some cottage cheese.
Like the Pillsbury Doughboy cottage cheese.
All right, I'm taking a sip. Very Belgian-y.
So Belgian-y.
I'm sorry, Belgian-esque. Oh yeah, lots of fruit. There's a little bit of a tart twang in there, just a little bit. It's very dry in the finish. There's some grassiness. There's a slight funk coming out.
Feel the funk.
I ain't feeling the Pillsboy funk though, man.
Oh yeah. I mean, this reminds me of I'm getting a lot of clove. Yeah, it's nice and spicy too. The aftertaste is dry and spicy, kind of
so this
peppery.
Is more, this is more like a classic saison than
I think so. Yeah, it has lots of wow. Yeah, the spices are really starting to come out. Yeah, this is. I mean, it's big. It's bigger than your typical Saison.
Yeah. What did you say? It was like 8%, right?
Yeah, it's 8%. So it's a big beer. But yeah, very clovey, very peppery. The sweetness is more of a banana and a little bit of peach kind of in there.
Are you getting any kind of like medicinal or herbal flavors in there at all?
No medicinal. Mm-mm.
How about band-aid-iness?
Herbal? Not really. I mean, there's kind of, now that you mention it, there's kind of a little bit of a, like an herbal tea in there, but not much. It's more of the clovey, peppery banana. I mean, very, very Belgian.
Yeah, definitely Belgian.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, yeah, definitely. Definitely 7 comes after 6. Yeah.
Of course, this is very nice. A banana.
7 is actually 8% ABV. I don't quite understand.
It's not your, I mean, it is thicker than your typical Saison too. So I could see this not being so much of a summer beer. I think this is good in the, you know, the off season, the spring or the fall.
So is this your kind of like cheese charcuterie tray kind of a beer?
Totally, totally. Yeah. Big cheeses I think would be good. Sharp cheeses, any kind of cheese,
funky
really.
Cheeses,
I mean, I'm not
toad cheeses,
but cheese. Not... Chuck E. cheeses.
I don't know. I don't know all my. You know, I'm not.
You're not a cheese connoisseur.
No, not really. But you know, I mean,
would
I
you
know
pair it with a block of Velveeta, Toby?
But
put
no,
put some
I mean,
nacho
I...
cheese on that.
Camembert.
But you know, I know my difference between I know the difference between a sharp cheddar and a brie. I know those. So I think any kind. This is one of those things where you would bust open a bottle of this with a bunch of friends, and you have the cheese and sausage and cracker and fruit platter, the brewer's platter if you were at O'Brien's in San Diego.
I always bust out my sausage when I'm with my friends.
I think this would go good with something like that. Other than that, I don't know any kind of main course dish. I think maybe lamb would be good. Mm. Or I mean, it's funny because it's a saison, but it's a sipper, you know. So trying the little bits of something here and there, I think would go.
It's a stepped up saison.
Would go well, yeah.
They turned it up to 7.
Yep.
Let's see.
They certainly did.
Speaking of numbers, Untappd ratings come in at 2,155 ratings at 3.83. Top three places to drink this beer are Upright Brewing in Portland, Oregon, the Woodsman Tavern in Portland, Oregon, and the Aces and Ales in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Nice. So, look at that.
Yeah.
That's
interestingly, similar beers to this, according to Untappd, are Matt's Burning Roasted, which Toby, I think, had last week. Or was that 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago now. 5 from Upright Brewing and Gillian from the Goose Island Beer Company.
Oh, we haven't done similar beers. That's cool, Dave. Thanks for doing that. That's pretty cool. I'm going to check into this on Untappd.
Check and, into that while we check out. Yeah. And then check back in.
And Mike checks in
with
some more beer.
There you go, folks. That is the 7 from Upright Brewing out of Portland, Oregon. If you like yourself a Saison with a little kick to it, check it out.
Aces and Ales, Las Vegas's premier craft beer destination. With 22 beers on tap and over 80 rare bottles. You can even get growler fills. Go to BeerCoastersPodcast.com, click on the Aces and Ales logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. That's Aces and Ales, now with 2 locations. Visit acesandales.com for more information. All killer, no filler. Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
All right, so
we've been live.
This is Mike
damn
from
it.
Boston, and for my tasting flight this week, for our Pintlandia show, Ode to Oregon, I'm going to try Rogue's 25 Integrity Ale.
25.
25. Yeah, see, you can see. I know our listeners
silver
can't
bottle.
See, but you can
Put
see.
Put in the silver bottle.
Yep.
It's very nice.
It's from Rogue Ales out of, is it Port? No, that is Bend, Oregon, right?
Newport, right.
Newport, Oregon. Should do a little homework before I start the show here. Their website is www.rogue.com. Like I said, this is their Integrity Ale. There's 7 ingredients, according to Rogue. Their malts are Rogue Farm Dare, Risk, and Munich malts. For hops, they use Willamette and Rogue Farm's Rebel hops. And for water and yeast, they use, of course, the Free Range Coastal Water and the Pac-Man yeast. Any other...
You know what? Okay, let me just say something. I love Rogue Ales. I haven't had a bad Rogue beer. The Beard beer is phenomenal. Okay? Rogue, how... Okay, this is your 25th anniversary beer. How are you using the same ingredients that you use in so many of your other beers?
They keep it real.
They threw in some Willamette with their Rogue... local Rogue hops and they're,
regular.
And they're using all their same local ingredients. I'm just curious that how are they mixing it up to make it different from some of their other beers. It's because they don't use like a chocolate malt or roasted barley or something like that.
I don't know if maybe this was a particular style that they brewed in the beginning, like back in 88.
Maybe that's original style.
You know, maybe this is this is a golden ale, I believe, right?
Yeah. Oh, what kind of...
It's classified as a golden or a blonde.
Okay. But it's not Belgian.
It's 30 IBU. I mean, it's pretty light.
Yep. I'm going to crack it if I can find a
bottle opener. Let's hope it has some integrity.
Well,
Why can't it just be...
Why would the F-Bro have any?
It's like, why can't they just...
I know. And it's probably going to be pretty solid, whatever it is. It's probably going to be tasty and it's going to be... a well-crafted beer, because Rogue doesn't know how to make a not well-crafted beer.
That made sense. I think it did.
But I've been wanting to get this beer, but the only reason why I haven't gotten it is because it's kind of pricey, isn't it, Mike?
Yeah, I think it was like bucks. $14.
Oh, okay. I thought it was more than that, but... Still, yeah. $14 for a 22.
Still pretty pricey. I think it was around 14. I can't remember exactly, but I think it might have been in the teens there somewhere. It's golden. The darker side of gold. I got about a perfect finger, solid finger of head there.
Looks like a beer.
Looks like a beer. Smells like a beer. Ooh.
Holy Willamette.
Sweet, grainy aroma. I can smell the Rebel hops. It's the same. I've ever had the Sam Adams Rebel IPA recently on the tap, and it's got that smells the same. Except this has completely different aromas with the sweet, grainy maltiness. But what's that?
It smells the same but different.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's. It's actually a really interesting aroma. It's kind of hard to describe. It like some honey. There's like bread and honey. A little grassy hoppiness in there, you know. Not sure what Rebel is actually supposed to smell like. I should probably... Someone look that up for me. It's got something else. There's something like a powdery... it's like a graham.
Huh.
You know, graham cracker?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally graham cracker. Now that the head's almost gone here, there's a little film. Getting kind of a graham cracker, sweet graham cracker. Golden grams.
Nice. Yeah, like golden grams, man. I'm like, drink that.
Not much out there in the world of Rebel hops.
Probably a pretty new strain.
Taking a sip, yeah!
It reminds me a bit of that Anderson Valley kind of buttery maltiness. Really drinkable.
What's the ABV?
You know what? I don't even think you told us. I probably didn't. It's 5.2.
There you go.
Not on the website, I don't think.
It'll give you some integrity right there.
Yeah, right. Why start now? Yeah, it's just got a nice kind of very mellow, sweet, buttery maltiness. It's got a nice kind of a clean hop finish at the end. It's pretty straight. I mean, it's one of those things where it's nothing. I don't know. I guess I'll talk more about that in last call. But if I'm going to pair this with something, I kind of want some fried chicken.
Nice.
What's it listed as? Is it listed as just a pale ale or something like that?
American Blonde.
Oh, American Blonde. That's right. Sorry.
Yeah, it's
fried chicken. Yeah,
it's interesting. Yeah, fried chicken.
Well, the untapped ratings come in at 3.46 out of 942 ratings. Top three places to drink this are the Canyon Road Steakhouse in Clarksville, Tennessee, the Crescent Moon Ale House in Omaha, Nebraska, and Rogue Ales Public House in San Francisco. Interestingly enough, they say similar beers are the Sam Adams Cold Snap, Sam Adams Escape something, and the Golden Rye Ale.
I'm starting to be a little skeptical of the similar beers, because Sam Adams Cold Snap was also on Toby's previous beer, the 7.
Ah, it was.
And it might have been on the 6 as well. So these similar beers might be paid spots.
It could be, or could be one of those things like Beer Advocate always has this general...
If you like this, you like that.
Right, and it's like, oh, this is a Belgian something. So, hey, this is a popular Belgian something.
Yeah.
Right, so the Cold Snap was a Belgian wit, right?
Yep.
So I think those are like the key words or something, and so they throw that in there because it's popular. And you could be right, Mike. It could be a paid spot.
No, actually, it was a wheat ale. It was a pale
Cold
wheat.
Snap had a kind of a fruity cereal flavor too, though, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, it was.
Right, it might so be maybe a, they maybe
maybe,
it
maybe I'm talking.
Maybe.
It's possible. So anyway, if you get a chance, check this one out. I mean, I can't imagine that this would be around for too long, you know, if it's our 25th anniversary, unless they, you know, rebrand it, rename it as something else as a regular release. But it's an interesting one.
You know, drinking beer and being social is a big part of what we do here at the Beer Coasters Podcast. So we'd invite you to join us at any number of our internet social websites. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, Untapped, Google+, and even Pinterest. That's right. Cheers.
Listen up, baby. It's time for Crazy Dave to drink some beer. Watch out now, baby
bubba. We're live.
Hey,
we're
what's live. Happening, everybody? My name's Crazy Dave. I'm out of Temecula, California. And tonight I'm going to be drinking Cascade Apricot Ale. This is from Cascade Brewing. Their website is cascadebrewing.com. And this is apparently a Northwest-style sour ale. It's an ale aged in oak barrels with apricots. Apparently. And it's a 2012 version of that.
I think Cascade only does sour beers.
Yeah,
that's their thing.
Yeah.
Do they use Cascade hops?
Probably. I've been there, actually.
Oh, geez, another been there story.
Toby's been there story.
When I was in Portland a couple years ago, me and Gina went and we drank at Cascade Brewing because it was right down the street from our hotel.
And you're like, ew, sour.
Well, their apricot here, it says,
sour.
This is a blend of blonde ales aged in oak barrels for up to 12 months and then aged on fresh apricots for an additional 8 months.
Nice.
So, apricots. They're not monkeys.
What?
Apricots, not apricots.
Oh, God, Mike.
Hey.
Root, route, tomato, tomato.
Yeah,
right.
Oh my
yeah
God.
Get the
f***
out of
here.
Well, anyhow.
Or potato, for that matter.
This is corked and caged.
Maybe
so
if you're from England.
You're going to uncork it?
Would you like some tomatoes with your breakfast? How about some fish and potatoes?
Alrighty. It's already starting to come out there. My mushroom tip went drip, drip, drip.
A little excited. A little excited there. You didn't know that Crazy Dave had the Kung Fu grip?
This pours out like a tan kind of sand color. It looks like a half. I mean, it's definitely opaque. Kind of a like I said, a light golden color. Of course, it's going to look a little.
It's a nice glass you got there.
Yeah. Nice glass.
So I figured I better bust
very
out
the shapely glass.
I better bust out the nice glassware for a $30 bottle of beer here.
That's right. It's not like you're going to be chugging out of the bottle.
It smells sour. It smells tart. Just smelling it makes my mouth water. You know, it's like something's going to want to.
Yeah.
It actually smells more like a grapefruit.
I'm smelling something sour. I'm not thinking, yeah, we gotta get me some of that.
On the nose, like it's got a funky souriness to it. Not really getting the apricot.
Don't fall for it, Dave. He's from Boston.
Apricot for that.
He's East Coast. Don't fall for it.
Well, I'm gonna take a sip here.
He says root.
Taking a sip, yeah.
Whoa. Whoa.
Bing, bing, bing.
Oh.
Pucker up, buttercup.
Woo. Mouth watering. It's not bitter. It's just sour. Like, whoa. Like, mega sweet. Mega tartness. What's nice, though, is that apricot comes in. The apricot comes in on the end. It was a real authentic, clean flavor, too. I mean, that sourness hits you up front, but... You know, it cleans up really, really nice. Oh.
Oh.
Dave, how many...
Cleans up so nice.
How often do you drink sours?
Not often. Not often at all.
Not often enough?
Well, probably not.
Ooh, Dave might be a sour guy.
I'm not big... I mean, I've had some sours and they were just... It was just like a sour beer. It was just kind of sour nastiness. This is a soury sweet kind of goodness. Damn, it keeps me wanting to drink more and more of it.
How long has Cascade been around? I think they're pretty new. Sorry to put you on the spot there, Dave, but I think they're a fairly new brewery.
I didn't see anything on their website. You know, their website's really simple, by the way.
Yeah. I want to say they're pretty new. Within the last maybe 3 years, they've opened, 3 or 4. So, and they pretty much do nothing. I mean, everything they do is barrel-aged, whether it's sours. I think they're all pretty much sours or some sort of maybe even Belgian styles. But you just got to figure that within, year after year, they're only going to improve. Of course, with most breweries, they just get better and better over the years. But especially when you're doing something like this, where you're barrel aging stuff, you just kind of get the hang of it. And year after year, stuff just gets better. Because, I mean, when I was there almost 3 years ago now. And I forget what I had there, but I wasn't that impressed. I thought that they were okay as far as sours go, and not that I'm a big sour connoisseur, but, a lot of American breweries or a lot of breweries will just make a beer sour just to make it sour. You know, they don't really put a whole lot of skill and passion into making a sour beer. They just go, hey, let's make a sour and let's just... freaking throw some whatever Brettanomyces or something in there that's going to make it super sour and just make it sour. But from what you're saying with this one, it sounds like
what's neat about this is after the initial shock of the sourness and you let it kind of float around in your mouth, and really start to taste it. I mean, the smooth sweetness to it that cleans up really, really well. I mean, it's got, you know, a fair amount of, like, I don't know if you want to call it effervescence to it, but it's just a really great beer. And if you were to just give this somebody to drink, you wouldn't really think that it was a beer. I mean, like, they might even say it was like a sour champagne kind of a thing. Because there's nothing very
overcarbonated.
Yeah, it's not a very beery beer.
And do they use it? Do they say what kind of yeast they use? I mean, do they use a champagne yeast or?
There's not any information on this stuff at all.
Yeah, very little. And did you say this was a barrel-aged version or no?
Yes, it is. It is an oak barrel-aged version. ABV on it, 7.4. So, I mean, if they are using a champagne yeast and, you know, the fruit, I would think it would be a little higher ABV, but maybe not. Maybe they're not, so I don't know. Food pairings?
Is the one that you're drinking the barrel-aged version?
Yes.
Or no?
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, that's where I was getting those wonderful oak flavors from, you know. Food pairings, God, you know, I think a sharp cheese would probably go good with this, like a jack cheese, like a peppery cheese. Well, maybe a peppery cheese would be better. Maybe pepper jack. God, what else? Oh, something sweet too. I think would probably go. I think this would pretty much kill salmon if I were to put it with salmon, so I would not say that.
How about a pepper jack and roasted bell pepper panini?
That'd probably work. Where the hell did you get that from, Toby?
I don't know. It just popped in my head. I swear I didn't look it up online. I swear.
Yeah, that can work. It definitely needs a cheese, though. It needs something creamy to kind of cut through that souriness.
You know me and my sandwiches. I mean,
sandwiches, man. Even a salad with some sort of creamy dressing on it, I think would work well. Would work well too with that. So, yeah, okay. That's Cascade Brewing. Their apricot ale. Just give you a little bit of warning. It is a $30 bottle, so. Make sure you have some friends to enjoy it with you. But you know, when you're barrel aging something, I mean, you're adding.
This is a bourbon.
No, I don't think it wasn't say bourbon barrel. It said oak barrel.
Oh, because that's the only one I see on a tap. French just regular, oak. And then it says bourbon apricot.
No, the one I said, the one I look at, I'm checking into the apricot ale 2012, which is what I'm drinking. Okay. I'm drinking the 2012 version of this. Speaking of which, there's 940 ratings that rate this a 4.15. There are no top three places to drink it because there's been enough places drinking it. But anyhow, similar beers, by the way, are all Cascade Brewing beers. Figueroa, Blueberry, Shrieking Violet, Creek, and The Vine.
Wait a minute. So. Dude, the popular locations, there's
really?
A bunch.
There's not... I'm looking at the 2012. Maybe you're looking at the generic one.
Oh, I just, yeah. Brought up the apricot ale.
The generic one, yeah, comes in at 3,172 ratings at 4.2. Top three places are City Tavern, Culver City, down the Minnesota Bang Hole. Down the Minnesota Bang Hole and Circle Pines, Minnesota, and Cascade Brewing, the barrel. I guess it's a barrel brewing thing. Anyhow, check them out. Website's cascadebrewing.com.
At Chris Nicole 1987 says... It's Friday, we ain't got shit to do. I got no boxing gloves, a small supply of beer, and a list of things working my nerves. Wanna be Superman?
Time for some backwash. Let's Yo, this is Jig calling from Phoenix, Arizona, hanging out at the airport, sipping on a Scottish ale from Kilt Lifter, straight out of Tempe, because the beer coasters always say to drink local. Cheers.
Last call.
It's time for the last call, folks.
All right, pint, pint rating.
Damn, Tony just wants to bust right
into it. Mike,
what you got? No messing around. All right.
Ain't no messing around here.
For my fermentation conversation beer, the Upright Brewing 6. It was good. I enjoyed the roasted character at the end. It was very interesting. It had an interesting... It kind of reminds me of... Not that the flavors are the same, but the first time we had that, like, a Belgian-style IPA. A blend of flavors that you're not used to having blend together with a beer, you know? It had a sweetness and the roastiness and the hoppiness was all there, but it made it a different kind of beer. For me, it was pretty enjoyable. Pretty solid offering from them. I'm gonna give it 4. Yeah, I think I'm gonna give it a 4. I enjoyed it. That's what I'm gonna do for my taste.
A 4.
For my tasting flight beer, the Rogue 25. Can you guys hear me at
all? Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, I muted my mic.
For the Rogue 25,
I was just being uncharacteristically polite.
The Rogue 25 Integrity Ale was really, really drinkable. I really like this beer. It also has an interesting mix of flavors that I wasn't expecting at all. Has kind of that a little lighter version of that buttery maltiness that Anderson Valley has, but it's got a nice hop character to the beer. It's not too heavy. It's got a nice smoothness, the mouthfeel, almost a creaminess almost. I'm going to give this one a 4.5.
Nice.
You know,
sorry, Dave, jump in there, but Mike, okay, for an anniversary ale, I'm not trying to...
Oh, here we go again.
...change your mind about your rating, but usually when you think anniversary ales, you think, you know, some sort of a Grand Cru or a barley wine or an Imperial Stout or some sort of barrel age, something this and that, or a blend of something else. How does this stand up as an anniversary beer?
Well, I mean, you kind of have that in your head that has to, you know, that's your definition of what an anniversary beer should be.
You ain't
gotta
go big
and bold. And I think that I don't see why an anniversary beer can't be this. A very drinkable, kind of toned down style. I don't see.
Sometimes it's more about finesse.
When I saw the style, I thought, man, this is going to be boring. A very boring beer. But I find it not to be boring. I really enjoy the flavor. Like, I could drink this all night on tap. Like, I'd be.
So that
they basically took
like some of their regular, you know, what they regularly use, and just make one hell of a good beer with it.
Who knows? This could be like the in-house session. Like, people have this, you know, while they're at work, and like this is maybe a style that they all enjoy. You know, I mean, it's definitely a session beer, but it's got a whole heck of a lot of flavor, and it's kind of a pleasant. It's a pleasant pulled back flavor for me.
Now, I mean, I'm not saying that
I'm not disappointed that it's not
Toby,
you know, imperial barrel aged with. with Arctic berries from some polar bear's ass or something. Like it doesn't matter.
Okay, well that's cool. I mean, I think that's. I don't want to say that it's very rogue of them to do that, but it's cool. I mean, it's like, hey, we don't have to get fancy. We don't have to go super barrel age and whatever. Like, we just wanted to build a solid, drinkable beer just to say, hey, we've been around for 25 years. We've brewed a crap ton of beer, and here we go. This is just something that we feel is solid. It's very rogue. It's very, you know, how we, you know, I think that's really cool. I wasn't trying to, like, you know, change your opinion on the beer or whatever.
I think that's cool. You would see if you could try to get the keg of this for your kegerator, because it's that kind of, it's like,
yeah,
it's a beer that you could drink a lot of, share with a lot of people. It's not offensive in flavor. There's no, like, punch you in the face, you know. Kind of.
See, the thing is, there are a lot of anniversary beers that do that.
There's no flavors, you know, that are trying to bully you.
You know, I know that I've had anniversary beers that are, like you said, like there's some things that people are just not going to like, you know, because they had to step it up for their anniversary. So I kind of get what you're saying there. It's like, yeah, Toby, I think you're right that, like, yeah, if it's an anniversary, do something special, but special doesn't always mean big, you know. Right.
Yeah. But I think it's cool. I think it's cool that they decided to remain laid back and kind of stick to their roots kind of thing and not be all, hey, yeah, 25 years, let's do some crazy, you know, whatever. I think that's cool. I mean, I totally
agree. If it wasn't so expensive, I'd definitely buy it again. But, you know, it is kind of on the pricey side. And, you know, I didn't take that into consideration.
It is a fancy bottle.
Rating, you know.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, it's a lot of the rogue beers. Any rogue beer that comes in a colored bottle,
it's freaking, it's
any one of any one of rogue beers that comes in a painted bottle is going to be expensive.
Well, the Voodoo Donut beers, I don't think were that expensive. I think they were like $7.
Yeah. Well, the double chocolate stout's a painted bottle.
Donuts in it.
Yeah,
I'd pay more for donuts.
I like donuts.
I'm paying more than $8.
They should actually release like. They should release 12 of them and put them in a fancy pink cardboard box. Rogue Voodoo Donut beers.
Nice.
The dirty
dozen. What about you?
You know, for Upright Brewing, I mean, for being a Saison, I was really surprised. I mean, because this is not like your typical Saison. I mean, it's definitely caramely. It's definitely malty and sweet. It doesn't have that traditional funkiness that you're gonna that you get with a Saison. It's not very Belgian, you know. It's not. It doesn't have the Saison. It doesn't have the Saisonity stink to it.
The Louisiana farmhouse Saison.
We're going drinking Saison.
But it does have, you know, this bite and this roastiness that Mike talked about.
Bite comes from the gators.
He was gator.
From the bayou.
Yeah, it's like when you get done, you're chewing on some of that gator skin, you know?
So this is all right. I'm going to give it a 3.5. I don't quite like it as much as Mike. It's not. It probably goes a lot better with food. I mean, as just for drinking it, for the beer by itself, you know, not the easiest thing to go down. You know, it's. I can definitely appreciate it a little bit.
It's,
you know,
It's a bit big,
bold.
Don't you think? I mean, it's a little bit like thicker and.
It's thicker. It's strong.
Than,
It's got. It's
it
definitely
just,
got.
It turns
some...
it into like a sipper, and I think it could be. Sorry to like stomp all over your review here, but I feel like if it was toned down a bit, it could be more sessionable and go even better with food. You know?
No, I think you need to eat food with it though to really appreciate it. So I'm gonna knock it down to 3.5.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, I mean it's good. You know, it's you know. But anyhow, now on to the other beer, my Cascade Apricot Ale. This is just mind-blowing. This is actually a really, 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 really damn good beer. It smells good. It
You're a sucker for the apricot, though, huh?
Oh,
Isn't that your first craft beer?
I am. That's how I first blew my wad on a cherry.
That's right. The apricot ale.
It's Pyramid's apricot ale, but aside from all of that, I mean, it's
I blew my wad.
On a fruit beer.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Hey, he's a wine guy, Mike. You know.
And if it wasn't for the Pyramid Apricot Ale, I wouldn't be sitting here today.
Oh, wow. That's pretty deep.
You know?
Yeah.
I probably have...
If you didn't have a fruit beer, you were going to kill yourself?
No, I wouldn't say I was going to kill myself. I probably wouldn't be drinking
I
beer.
I know. I'm just messing with it.
He'd be like, no, Corona. Corona to my grave.
No, even then, I wouldn't even drink Corona. I wouldn't even drink beer.
Oh.
I didn't really like the taste of it.
Baby wants a Zima.
Damn.
Yes. I was going to say something about wine or
you
Pinot,
even,
Pinot
you even,
Noir.
You weren't
something.
Even there for the Zima day, Mike. Damn.
He's
no,
heard the
I
stories.
Wasn't, but...
Well, anyhow, Cascade Apricot Ale. I mean, it's got a wonderful tartness to it that just makes you want to drink more and more and more of this. You know, you take a sip and you want more. You take a sip and you want more. And then you have this wonderful oak layer that's on this, and it works really well with the souriness and then the sweetness of the apricot. There's just this like this trifecta of these things that are just kind of moving you around and. Twisting and turning, and it really is a wonderful experience. I mean, it's not going to surprise you guys that I'm going to give this a 5. I think this is
woo-hoo!
Awesome.
Yeah.
And like there are some sours that are just nice. Sour and just like, bah! Like you really got to power through it, you know. And they maybe it's because it's got this sweet balance to it and nice oak. Flavor to it that it's really good, but like some sour are just sour and they're like a gross sour. It's like that hot and sour soup kind of a flavor, but this isn't like that. This is a very drinkable, very palatable souriness to it. It's more, I guess, sour is not really a good word. Maybe a tartness, or a sharp fruitiness to it. But this is just great. You know, I highly recommend that if you see this, grab one, try it out. It's
even for $30 a bottle.
Well, it's pricey. It's pretty damn pricey, and that's not why I like it.
Big. I usually have a limit, and that exceeds my 750.
Yeah, you know, I'll
mil limit right there.
Don't knock it down, dude.
It costs that much.
Yeah, I've had some $30 beers that weren't, you know, all that great. You know,
well, Dave. Okay, so you're a wine guy also, so. $30 bottle of wine.
Well, that's cheap.
What's the cheap. My cheap bottle of wine is like $10.
Well, yeah. No, I mean,
what I'm asking is, have you had $30 bottles of wine where you were like, yeah, kind of the same?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've had $10 bottle of wine. So I'm like, oh my God, this is incredible. I've had 30. I've definitely had more $30 bottles of wine that I'm like, oh, this is pretty damn good, you know.
But as far as this goes, as a beer, $30.
As a beer,
you're like,
as a beer, yeah.
I guess you're just not used to paying that much for
a beer, right.
But as far as what you're getting,
I mean, you're getting a pretty good value here for your. Well, I wouldn't say you're getting a value for your money. You're definitely getting your money's worth. You know, if you know what I mean. You know, it's like you're not going to be disappointed. You know, when you spend $30 on this.
That's kind of how cool. We feel about this show.
You get what you pay for.
Yeah, you get what you pay for.
So.
This is definitely good stuff. So yeah, I really gotta throw it out there for these guys at Cascade, man. They really know what they're doing when it comes to. You know, putting together this beer. I mean, I think it takes a lot to be able to balance.
Sour.
To not only make. I mean, because you can make a really nasty sour.
Yeah.
You know, you really can. I don't think it's that hard.
No, it's interesting. I think the barrel aging the sour, Yeah, I mean, it's got a, to me, it kind of...
I like this way 100 times better than Red Poppy.
Lots of different styles.
Oh, wow.
Seriously, I mean, this just blows the Red Poppy out the water. Hands down. Not even a...
That is a bold statement,
not even
sir.
The same league. And you're paying, like, about the same. I mean, you get 12 bucks for, like, a little 12-ounce yeah. bottle, you know, and this would be 30
ounce,
bucks,
yeah.
you know, for a 750.
Oh, you're probably paying more for Red Poppy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think this is way, way better. So, I mean, I would even, I at this point, you know, based on this beer, I'm willing to put Cascade's cherry version of this up against Red Poppy. I really am.
Oh, you've had the cherry?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, I think I probably would put it up against it, see what happens.
That's how confident he is. He's going to, like, yeah. blind challenge
Red Poppy. Poppy.
Nice. All right, well, for my one beer that I had, because I didn't have the Upright Brewing 6, but I did have the Upright Brewing 7, and I got to say, this is, out of the Upright beers that I've had, which I've had the 4, 5, 6, I think this is the 4th. No, I've had the Upright Wit also. I forget what it's called. It's a True Wit, I think, is their, it's their wit beer. I think I've had all the ones I can find here in Vegas, and this one by far is my favorite. This one is awesome. It has everything that I look for in a Belgian style beer. It's saison. It's has just the right amount of funk to it. Super delicious. I'm going 5 pints, and I don't know what that says about Portland or Oregon beers in general, but I mean, just the look of this show, we've got a couple of 5-pinters, a 4.5, a 4, and a 3.5. I mean,
well, Portland knows what's up when it comes to beer.
Yeah, I mean it's no my, doubt. It's by far my favorite of the Upright beers that I've had so far, and I think it's because the style that it is, because the other ones are a little bit darker, some of them might be a little more heavy, but this one, I don't know. I mean, even I think the 4, or is it the 5, is their other farmhouse one they have, but this one is, it's excellent. It's just everything you want out of a farmhouse style beer. I mean, close your eyes, I think this excellent. Was actually, I think this was a beer straight from Belgium. I mean, it's great. So 5 pints, love it. I would totally get it again. There you go, Upright 7,
that, folks.
5 pints.
Damn, well, Portland definitely puts it down, man.
Cool.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's other great... I mean, if we could... I mean, we could do another Portland show, because there's so many great breweries out of Portland. There's Bridgeport, and there's Hair of the Dog, and Widmer Brothers, and Full Sail. I mean, you have lots of great breweries out of Portland, but as far as the ones that we could all get together, you know. So maybe we'll have to come back and do a Pintlandia Part 2.
Oh. Idea season 2.
Alright, let's do some shout outs. Somebody's got some shout outs.
Shout outs.
Mike has some shout outs.
I just want to give a quick shout out to Ryan at Redstone Liquors. He helped me out today, and I just want to say thanks.
Dave, you got any shout outs?
Just to all the regular Untapped homies, Gino, Kenny, Chris Reed, you know, all those
I
folks.
See if I got
instant
toast and whatnot
instant
today.
Toasting.
I have my Twitter thing up.
I'll give a shout out to Melissa M.
Yeah, thanks for all the Twitter follow. Whoever followed me this week on Twitter, I'll give him a shout out.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Right now. Right.
I'll give a shout out to Melissa M., Jason Thalman, Tony Micro Brewer, and the Denver Beer Guy.
Oh, and of course I want to give a shout out to Jig. Thanks for calling in. That was awesome. We haven't got a phone call in a while. And also want to let everybody know that tomorrow, March 22nd, I will be at Ferk Fest in Anaheim, California. It's being put on by our buddy Greg over the OC Beer Blog. He's one of the promoters of the festival, and it's an all-cask festival. There's going to be about 30 breweries there. I don't think you can get tickets anymore. I mean, now, you'd have to be listening to this on Friday and go to FERCFest.com, see if you can get some tickets. But yeah, if you're out there, Nana, if you're going, I'll look for me. You know, I'll be there taking some pictures and drinking some beer, man. The FERCFest 2014.
And Will W. On Untapped.
Is that Will Wheaton?
No, it's not Will Wheaton. It's a different Will W. Oh, and
we'll give a shout out to Will Wheaton too while we're at it.
Giopi S84 on Instagram. Giopis 84. He liked a bunch of our pictures on Instagram.
Okay. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and watch us on YouTube, www.youtube.com/beercoasterspodcast.
And we'll see you next week. What are we doing next week?
Dead Man Sip No Ale.
Big show next week, yes.
Yes, another third installment of the Dead Man.
Mike has been working
prepared to walk the plank
on an intro for months now. I don't know if he can beat...
And by working on one for months means I haven't done anything at all.
Dead Men Sip No Ales Part 2.
And I won't probably until the day of the show. Yeah, go listen to the intros of some of our old Dead Men Sip No Ales shows. They're fun, to say the
best.
Yeah. You know, I went back and listened to that show today, and I realized that I was so hammered at the end of the show that I didn't record the last call segment. I wasn't in the last call at all. But then I did come back and do like an instant backwash. You could just listen to the backwash and tell how effed up I was. So nice. If you want to go back and listen to that show, it's yeah. Fun.
Fun show. We look forward to that show every season.
Cool. All right, cool. Folks. We'll see you Cheers. Next week. Cheers.
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 Paul's America.
Thank you for joining us in this issue of Beer Coasters. Podcast with us next week, right here on Beer Coasters.
When in doubt, put a beer on it.
I always bust out my sausage run with my friends.
Yeah.
7 is actually 8% ABV. I don't quite understand.
You know, it's like something's gonna.